How do you feel about using break passes with students? Are you a fan? Is it something that you've used before? Or do you think, no way, I'm not opening that can of worms. I want my students to stay in the classroom and not get rewarded for leaving. In this episode, I want to share my experience using break passes and how it all came about.
Hey, special educators, I'm Jennifer from Positively Learning. Welcome to the Special Educators Resource Room. If you're like me, you're always looking for ways to save time and streamline your work. That's why this podcast was created, to give you the systems and solutions you need to get your time back. Tune in for tips, tricks, and tools that will help you manage your workload and make the most of your time. Whether you're brand new or experienced, all are welcome in the Special Educators Resource Room.
Hey, special educators, it's Jennifer from Positively Learning. Let's dig into this topic all about break passes. Let's start with the definition. When I'm referring to break passes in this episode, I'm not thinking about hallway passes, maybe something that you start the school year off and it's something tangible a student holds if they are taking a bathroom break or going to the nurse. Instead, for this episode, I'm referring to break passes as a behavior strategy or a tool that we can use to support our students. In my experience, I got into using break passes as a tool to prevent elopement, which was already occurring. So when I deep dived and researched and looked for solutions, I tried out break passes, and I'm so glad I did because it was really an effective tool. Here's a bit more about my experience. I had a student who was struggling with elopement. He had a history of elopement the previous school year, and this school year that I worked with him, he was doing so much better. He was in a homeroom. He was really maturing. He had bonded with the homeroom teacher. He was thriving. However, when he left that homeroom space, he did fall back on those elopement habits. And this is when he went to the resource room with me, when he went to enrichments, which were our specials, or had any other change in scenery. It was just a struggle for him. Well, it was a struggle for all of us. So I did collect data to see, you know, what was happening. When were these elopements more likely to occur? And I found it was in two different places. One was he transitioned to my room pretty well, for the most part, and he really enjoyed being with his peers. He enjoyed being the center of attention. So we would always start off in the resource room in a whole group setting, and then we would move into our rotations. In that whole group setting, he did very, very well as long as he could be answering the questions and kind of showing off a little bit. He was a very bright child, and he knew the answers, and he just was great with that. Whenever somebody else had a turn or someone like kind of took that attention away, especially if it was me, then an elopement might be more likely to occur. And just was kind of that slinking off towards the doorway and then disappeared. He would go into the hallway, kind of hang on the doorway, or he'd wander the halls a little bit, or he would return to his home room and disrupt that classroom, which was always like kind of a real tough one for me too, because I felt terrible that I wasn't supporting him properly and it was being disruptive. The other time that he would elope is, or more common time, was after that whole group setting when we did go to rotations and he had some kind of academic demand. It was time to do the work. Then that would be like, oh, I'm just going to slide out the door again. And it wasn't like we're having a fit or anything like that. It was just more of a disappearing act. I'm going to interrupt this story right here just to give a little bit of input. I was really struggling with this. It was so hard not to take this personally, even though I knew it wasn't personal. This is a child, but when someone elopes from your classroom after you've like just spent so much time and effort and energy trying to build that relationship, and basically like I felt like I was coaxing the student to stay, it just felt awful when he would disappear. And I did try a couple of other things before I turned to break passes. I tried like the chill zone with pretty good success. It just wasn't everything we needed, but it certainly was a step in the right direction. And we tried, you know, behavior charts. He also had a mother who was just fantastic, and she enjoyed getting like text messages when things were going really well. So I made sure to implement that too, where he could text or send a picture or, you know, picture of his work or something like that. And she would respond like, awesome, you know, great job. So that was just fantastic. So these things were in place, but they still were not eliminating the elopement. And I hadn't thought of break passes yet. I think I may have thought of them and I thought, why? You know, why would I do that? That's the opposite direction of what I want to have happen with this student. One other thing that I did is I was really trying hard to find time to individually meet with the student and communicate, like build a relationship. So it might be at breakfast time, I'd stop in the homeroom and we'd do a quick one-on-one assessment, or I'd just check in with the student at lunch. And I did know that he was feeling pretty embarrassed about coming to the resource room, having to leave his homeroom. So along with his homeroom teacher and I, we laid it out, like, here's why you're coming to this classroom. It's for intervention. And, you know, here's where you're at and all of this progress that you've made. And when we're at this point, then you would not need to be coming to this intervention room anymore. So basically, it's like, if you don't want to come to the resource room, like, here's why we're doing this. And once this is done, you know, you wouldn't need to come anymore. And he was pretty motivated. It didn't always last, especially with that embarrassment. That was such a strong emotion for him. But in some cases, it did really motivate him. He felt good when he was like seeing his progress. So on and on this went with lots of ups and downs. There were times where we'd have a couple of days a stretch with no elopements. Then there were times where we'd have more than one elopement in the same day or in the same content block. So we needed to come up with another solution with all of these other things that we had going. I'm not sure when I had the idea to use break passes. It may have been well before this, but at this point I was starting to feel more receptive to the idea because my student was already taking a break, just not in an appropriate way. So I wouldn't be providing breaks or rewarding with breaks. Nope, these breaks were already occurring. I just wanted to make them part of a positive behavior strategy. My goal for using break passes was to have my student become more self-aware, to teach the student self-regulation, and that the student would be asking for a break before the elopement would occur. As with any new behavior strategy, I wanted to take the time to explain it to my student, to talk about what a break would look like, what an appropriate break would be, whether it was taking a quick break to take some deep breaths or get water, or deliver a message to his home room, that was his favorite one, or whether it was a sensory break. We talked about how long a break should be, how to ask for a break in a real subtle way, when it's a great time to ask for a break, when we can wait just a moment or two before till it's a more appropriate time to ask, how we return from a break, and then we just role played. At first, my student was asking for breaks more often than you would want, but it was okay because I had a chance to provide feedback and he really bought into the system because I honored it and he was honoring it too. I did start taking data. I took data on how many breaks were occurring, just frequency data. Then I also just indicated whether that break was pre-planned, like he asked for it in an appropriate way, or if that break was an elopement. The elopements still occurred, but they decreased pretty rapidly when they did occur, not in that exact moment, but when it was appropriate, like a certain amount of time had gone by, whether it was later in the same day or the next day, I talked with the student and I talked about how it's okay to take a break. We all need a break sometime, but we need to take it in a safe and appropriate way. And that includes asking and letting the adult know where you're going. And so I didn't do this in an angry way. And the student, I think, was shocked. I think sometimes that was kind of like maybe attention seeking to have someone not happy with them. And I think that was very surprising that he was still getting this attention, but it wasn't negative. It was positive because we are learning the system and I'm providing feedback on it. All right, I explained all of this in this podcast because I think it's really an effective strategy. And I wanted to give you the ups and downs, the reality of using a break system. I would absolutely use it again if it was appropriate. Many times it's not that safe for our students to take a break like this. In this case, it was for this student. But that is something you definitely want to be aware of. If you are working with co-teachers, colleagues, other staff members who are just really against breaks, like, why would I reward a student? I hope that as I talked it through in this episode, I shared my feelings about it. Main thing was I was not rewarding this student for any kind of behavior. The breaks were already occurring, and they were occurring for a reason. So not only did I want to tackle that and, you know, work out that reasoning by building that relationship, but I also wanted to have those breaks occur in an appropriate way. It kind of defeated that power struggle that we also had going on when those elopements occurred. I cannot recommend enough tracking data also as you're implementing a new behavior strategy. In this case, I could see that the breaks increased in frequency, but they were appropriate breaks as my student was testing out the system. The elopements decreased almost immediately. And then over time, all of these types of breaks really started to decrease because as the student was getting his needs met, we were able to move forward with all the other things that we had in place to support the student and all students. And the student eventually graduated from me, which was the goal all along. In the show notes, I'm going to put a link to a packet of break passes. I think this packet is $3.50, something like that. It's in the big special educators resource room bundle as well, but I want to link to it. It's a set of break passes, all different types that you can use with elementary age students, but also has the data sheet and has an explanation of how to begin and implement and keep this break pass system going. I think it is a very effective tool based on my own experiences. And let me know if you have any questions about what I shared in this podcast or about how you can use break passes in your own classroom. Thanks so much for listening, and I will catch you next time in the Special Educators Resource Room.
Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'm dying to ask, what'd you think? Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. You can find the show notes and links for everything mentioned in this episode at positivelylearningblog.com. See you next week for more special education solutions.